This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And let's get it going.
Look, I'm just trying to be all right with it, yeah. I'm just trying to be alright with it, yeah. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. I'm just trying to spend the night with it, yeah. I just want to be alright with it, yeah.
It's been a while since we've done one of these. We have and all three of us are here, and we thought we were just going to be talking draft stuff, which we are primarily going to be talking draft stuff. But the big news broke the day that we're recording this. And obviously, everybody knows by now that Tom Heinsohn has passed away. Legendary Celtic. Period. I mean, we grew up. Matt and I grew up watching him as, as the announcer. And of course, Ty's gotten to see him announce over the years too. But he was, of course, coach beforehand. And I know in Bob Ryan's book, he talked about that quite a bit there. And then, of course, there's a legendary player who I've heard about a ton from my grandfather growing up. And 2020 has been freaking relentless, guys. There's no two ways about it. It's just, it was Alex Trebek the day before, but and obviously he's a legend in his own right. But if you don't watch game shows, it may not hit in the same way for some people. But for us, for Tom Heinsohn, for me, whether it was listening to Glenn talk about it on the show, Ty, or, just when I first see the news, like my heart sank because this is a guy who's you may not know him. Like, plenty of fans don't know him personally, and I did not talk to him as a writer or when I worked at Comcast, now NBC Sports Boston. I never got the chance to talk to him. I was always too intimidated because this is Tom Heinsohn. But I know Matt. I want to hear how Matt feels about this. But for you, surprisingly, you tell me before the show, this actually hit you weird, even though you're not a Celtics fan and you've only been in the market for 2-3 years now.
Yeah, only been in the market 2 years and just been a league pass watcher. So that's how I kind of became familiar with Mike Gorman and Tommy, was just watching on League Pass. And I mean, Tommy, you watch just 5 minutes and you feel like you know the guy. You understand he's as homer as it gets. He's going to be as brutally honest about his team or the refs, and he's going to tell it in his way. And so, yeah, we got the news. It was like 2:02, 2:03. We had just started the show, and we saw the tweet from Chad Finn about it, and we had to tell Glenn. And Glenn's obviously, the guy who we give our breaking news to read most of the time, and he's a guy who worked with Tommy on, working, calling games, and Tommy's alongside him on TV and or on radio or whatever, and it was always in the building alongside him, so many games they've worked alongside each other or by each other, whatever the phrase it may be. But yeah, it didn't really shake me or make me cry or anything, but like seeing Glenn kind of get emotional, mm-hmm. not really like in cry on the air or anything like that, but just seeing him kind of like show a real human side that he doesn't really show very often is mm-hmm. was real genuine to see. And like I said, Tommy just felt like you felt like you knew the guy, so to see him go and to see Celtics Nation mourn this was kind of a tough thing to.
I can't imagine being in his position where you have to talk about that as a friend, and because I know Matt as a fan growing up listening to him talk. I remember I love Walter, and then you got even Ricky Davis back in the day, all the different stuff, and people are sharing reels of Tommy's calls and all that. I get goosebumps watching that stuff now because you just were never going to hear that again after hearing it through our entire childhood.
Yeah, he's definitely a legend through and through, like you said, player, coach, all of it. But yeah, I think it's weird just knowing that we did grow up when you watch Celtics games. It's him and Mike Gordon. Just that voice to call, you know, the Tommy points, all that stuff. And he always kept it real. Like, obviously, he was a homer. But I think what I really did like about him is that he would always complain about the refs, which you don't really see announcers do, like, as much as he did. But, you know, I just think it's weird. It's the voice, kind of like the voice of Celtics for us when you're watching growing up. So,
yeah,
he definitely Tim and Mike. Missed. Yeah.
Tim and Mike. Yeah, and you know, honestly, I get the homer stuff, but at some point, it's just, how is it not funny? Especially when you complain at the refs over
it's because hilarious.
I mean, even Ty, who's not a Celtics fan, how many times did we complain about the refs, even in the postseason? It was just they deserve it to some extent.
Yeah, I made a montage today to close out our show, like great moments from Tommy, and the first one I let off on was a moment of him ripping LeBron, and he's like, LeBron's just out here crying. And he's only done it twice lately with the handkerchief in his pocket. It's just like him ripping LeBron, ripping the refs, ripping bad Celtics basketball, even not as a fan. I loved it. It's like I grew up with basically Neil Funk and Stacey King. Stacey King was one of my favorites because he gives his own flavor to it. He's only been in the game, you know, 10, 15 years, but I think it was a tough day for a lot of Celtics fans, and especially guys like Glenn who worked long, and Mike Gorman too, who worked like 4,000 games with Tommy. It's unbelievable.
But he honestly, when Mike talked about it on NBC Sports Boston, one of the first things that I thought is like, wherever Tommy's going, there's no refs there because he deserves a little peace and quiet. I don't want to say refs don't go to heaven, but I mean, just, you know, some of the calls they make, I don't know if they necessarily deserve to. But I think, Matt, too, like we're guys who look at basketball from an analytics standpoint, and you know, especially when you played as much as you did. I know with the homer flair, it can be a bit much at times, just as you get older and you start to learn things. It's like, all right, Tommy, like let's take it easy. But when we were too young to know better, and I think there's a lot of fans out there who just enjoy watching their team win, they want a guy who's like, you know, who just is all about their team and has their back, you know, what's best for Celtics basketball through and through all the time. And that was Tommy 100%.
Yeah, definitely. I think you described it perfectly for when we, you know, growing up, how we view Tommy. He almost honestly, for me, it was like listening to Skippy talk, my grandfather. So how he talked at basketball games. So I think the similarity between the two is why I related so much when he did games.
Yeah, and I know there's, you know, Mike Gorman said it. There's a lot more to Tom Heinsohn than just basketball. And I know when Glenn when I talked to him, he said I hope you got to know him. I didn't, so I can't speak to that as much. But Tom Heinsohn, you know, like Bill Russell is the most winningest player of all time. Larry Bird is who you think of first when you think of Celtics basketball. And obviously KG and Paul Pierce have their own place in history, but Tom Heinsohn is like the consummate Celtic because he coached, he called the games, he played, and he won. So it's like, how do you not like? So he doesn't. I don't think he always will. I think he's got his due today. I think he was recognized across the board by everybody. And then, you know, it's just the 2020 is just brutal. It just does not stop. It is relentless, and we're getting close to the end. So, you know, and we know we're going to have basketball before the end of it too. There's no real way to pivot into what we're going to talk about next because I don't want to make light of the situation. Obviously, it's the first thing on our minds. That's why we got to address it first. But of course, guys, we know that we're going to have the season at the end of the year. Free agency is coming soon, and that stuff's already getting pretty crazy, it seems like. But before all that, we're going to have the draft, which is why we're doing this because we want to talk about that going into next week. The Celtics have 3 first-round picks, you know, second round, whatever. We're not as worried much about that. But we have the Celtics have the 14th overall pick, the 26th overall pick, and then the 30th overall pick in the draft. That's what we're worried about covering today. And before we get into that, would you guys like to see them make a trade? And if so, do you have a trade in mind? Matt, you go ahead and start us off. Is there anybody you want to see them go after or maybe move up for?
I guess, I mean, I don't really – the problem is I don't really look into, like, the salaries and who would be available, but I would like to see them move all 3 picks. Like, I'm all set with Danny drafting at this point on the draft board because pretty sure there's like an 85% chance he misses on all three. So I would trade him. I think they need a veteran presence. I've seen that written a lot lately in the, you know, Boston Celtics coverage stuff. But I think they do need a veteran. I think that's more important. They don't really need to use all these picks on young guys. You know, they want to compete now. I think you need to bring in a veteran if you think you're ready. Obviously a more solid big option, and I guess you could use one of the picks for that maybe to build something on. Overall point, I'd like to see them not use the picks. I'd rather trade them and not even trade to get up in the draft unless you really, really like someone. But I don't really like this draft. But
Ty, I thought you were done. I'm sorry. This is what happens when we haven't done this in a month or so. But I was going to say, Ty, I know you want to see them make a move. Because you had those drafts, who says no stories that you were catching some heat for, was it a month ago? Is it during our 5-out hiatus?
Yeah, Bradford's like a homeless guy in the corner just begging me to keep throwing like those who say no trades at him.
That sounds about right.
Oh, because people love clicking on trade stuff in general. So like, yeah. I'd sit there and run through the trade machine and give him one. But one that I liked and I thought made sense for both teams was Marcus Smart and number 14 for number 2 from the Warriors. That was a trade that Bill Simmons and Zach Lowe threw out in their podcast, and they said it makes sense for both sides. I'd be for it. I don't think you can trade Smart and 14 to get number 1 from Minnesota. So like maybe number 2 and take James Wiseman, who seems to be available at that spot. I'd be all for that.
My question to you, Ty, is: do you think the Warriors would actually do that trade? I would if I was a Celtics, but
I think I would because I don't think that – I think they're in like an absolute win-now mode, and I think that the Celtics, if they do that trade, it secures like a long-term piece like Wiseman or whoever they take, Anthony Edwards. I don't think they would. I don't even know. It would probably be Wiseman, if anybody, in that spot at number 2. Like, they would secure that piece for the next 4 or 5 years, whereas Smart looks like he has 2 years max, and that's it. And who are you getting at 14, you know?
Yeah,
that's why I would do it.
No, I'm saying, do you think the Warriors? You just said the Warriors would do that.
Oh, I think the Warriors would because I think Smart's a guy that could be your best on-ball defender. It takes away what Class to do coming off of a torn ACL, and Steph's not really a guy you want to put on your best wing player to stop him anyway. So those two can conserve energy, play a little small ball with Marcus Smart, and have him on the best guard.
And from a monetary standpoint too, Matt, before you say anything, I think I haven't looked at the Warriors salary cap, but I mean, their cap space, I think they are in the luxury tax already. It's them, the Celtics, the Nets, and I believe the 76ers are the fourth team that are already in it. But the negotiating that they've done with the CBA is going to give those teams a little bit of a break with what they've done. I think it's being able to defer payments and everything like that. And then the taxes going into next year too, there is some level of leniency, even though the cap has not raised at all from last year. But I think that because of what's happened, they want to give teams a little bit of a break. So just from that standpoint, I don't know, again, if it can match up exactly. I'm sure, Ty, with the trade machine stuff, it could work. Is that what you were saying before?
Well, I couldn't run like the Smart and 14 for number 1 straight up. I think it would work because I think number 1, the slotted value like matches up with Smart's like at $12 million a year.
Okay.
That'll be the number 2 pick. I think that's like around what he would make.
So then they'd have to sign him, and then they couldn't. It probably couldn't get done necessarily on draft night or whatever. They would have to.
Yeah, it'd be a technicality. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think about this other trade I threw out? It was Hayward and yes, absolutely. So it was Rudy Gobert and Ed Davis for Gordon Hayward and Time Lord and like the entire draft this year. Rudy Gobert.
I'm all in for that, but this has been my issue with Brad. Like, how does he fit in Brad's system?
Bingo.
That's a big change to what he likes because every big man he's ever had can shoot really besides Ennis can shoot kind of, I guess he can step out and shoot.
No.
You don't really want to see it at all. That's basically where we're at with Rudy Gobert. But, Tyson can step out and shoot the three, you know. Mm-hmm.
I love
Time Lord's on the jumper.
I'd be for that 1,000%. Absolutely. I think we've seen with the trades that you've proposed. I know the Matt's not a fan of the Miles Turner one, but that one obviously got a lot of pushback. But I think when the Rudy Gobert one gets thrown out there too, I think there was some pushback from the Celtics loyalists. I just think they have had Gordon Hayward's back for so long, they don't want to entertain that idea of possibly giving up on him, because if you give up on him now, there's no two ways about it. As much as an injury played a big factor in it, the signing was a failure. So they don't want to do that. But I don't know how you say no to the Gobert move.
The headline there is trading Gordon Hayward, the Time Lord, who everyone loves, and three first-round picks. Like Matt just said, like, I'd be willing to trade three first-round picks, which are nothing. Like, you're going to get three Gershon Yabusele's and, you know, add that to this roster. Like, you can't have three guys in this roster. You can barely add one.
Yeah, Ty, like, I'm just sick of him drafting that. Tell me the last time he's made like a really solid pick from that far back. Like, I don't think he ever, in recent memory, he hasn't. That's like Jared Sullinger and
he loved Tyler Hero. That was the report, so we got to give him credit for that. It's like that is the most thing ever. He didn't make the move to go get him, so you can't give him credit.
Yeah, the Grant Williams pick, I think, will end up working out in the end, but that's
true. I like that pick, but I'm just saying, most of the time he doesn't do well, and most GMs probably don't, right? He just doesn't have luck into falling someone. But I think you got to trade at least two of them. I don't know how you hold on. Like Ty said, if you draft any of these guys, too many of them, like, what are you going to do with them anyway?
Exactly. There's not enough space.
If you just look at the roster, how many guys could they potentially add to this year's – or to next year's – well, I guess this year's team, which is, wow, like a month and a half away.
Yeah, we're getting very close.
How many guys could you even add? Two? Like, you need a rotation player, but, like, are you willing to say, like, bye to Carson Edwards and – well, Vincent Poirier, like, whatever. You can
– yeah.
You don't need you. Like, he's the only guy that you're really comfortable by saying, like, I'm totally fine getting rid of – are you fine with getting rid of Javonte Green for – a 26 pick, whoever that is?
No, I honest to God, guys, as I'm going through all this, it would really take the right guy to slip to 26 for me to be interested in giving him a shot at all. 30th, more than likely, absolutely not. I mean, and we can kind of go over some of these guys a little bit, but your right space is an issue. And one thing I've seen throughout all this is reports saying, like, I know we see rumors out there, but I should say analysts, where they're talking about the Celtics possibly trading 14 and then packaging that with 26 and or 30 to try and move up a spot. I know one, I think it was John Hollinger, who of course is a former league exec and everything and very connected, as much as he's in the role of analyst right now. But he talked about the Celtics possibly moving up into like the 11-10 range, which obviously isn't a huge bump up. But my thing is, like, I like the two guys that are projected to go to the Celtics at 14, more so than anybody else. But if he goes to that 11, 12, 10 range, the Celtics do, then we're talking about possibly like Vassell, Devin Vassell from Florida State. And we all saw the broken jumper. For those who haven't seen it yet, you know, it seemed like he was a fine shot and everything. And then some highlights got out on Twitter or whatever it was. And if, like, look, Romeo Langford's jumper, Ty, I know how you feel about your guy Romeo and everything, but Matt, we'll be honest.
Work in progress.
Yeah. Well, like, honestly, watching Vassell's shot, what it looked like most recently, I thought it was uglier than Romeo Langford's. So I don't know why you want to trade up for a guy like that. As much as he's an athlete and everything like that, and he was supposed to, his shot was supposed to be fine before, to me, you go and work on stuff right beforehand. Why is that somebody you're making a move for? That doesn't make sense.
It's just not a team need.
Right. Thank you. 1,000%. You have plenty of athletic guys. Of course, a 3-and-D guy would be good, but you need a guy who could shoot. Like, I just don't know with Vassell right now. I don't trust him at all. And look, Kira Lewis is another guy who they can move up to get to as well. Like, he's projected to go. I'm seeing a little bit before the Celtics for the most part right now. He's a point guard, but he can shoot. How much is he going to factor into everything? And where,
how do you like Carson Edwards?
But Carson Edwards is obviously more shooting guard, volume shooter. The two names for me that I care about most at 14 right now, if they use this pick, are Aaron Nesmith from Vanderbilt, who obviously is coming off a foot injury, but was shooting really well before he got injured. And Sadiq Bey out of Villanova, who over his 2 years there was had a little bit more success, and you know, not dealing with the same injury problem as Nesmith. Both wings. Vandy is 6'6", Nova 6'8", and the thing with them to me comes down to their defense. Of course, you have one guy who's a little bit taller in Bey, and he, as a sophomore, like he talked about what, like I saw this on Hoops Hype with Brian Kalbrowski, excuse me, my boss. He interviewed him and he said, as a sophomore going into that year, his goal was to be able to defend guards, wings, and centers, and he's confident in his quickness in defending guards. So this is Bey from Villanova. Okay. Then we have with Nesmith from Vanderbilt. Okay, again, good shooter. Defensively, what are you bringing to the table? Of course, you have your length and everything. And to me, like he played under Jerry Stackhouse this year, and I believe it was Stackhouse's first year. His only year with him, but he talked about how like he's all about team defense. He's all about being learning Stackhouse system, being a part of it, and trying to just understand the scheme and work within that as best as he could. And everybody regards him as a solid defender right now. So I know that I told you guys a little bit about them beforehand, but how do you feel about either of those two, Taya? You can lead us off. Like, do you have either one that you'd be leaning towards, or do you prefer somebody else from the names that I gave you before?
Those two names don't really stick out. I can't really say I saw either of them play, but the way you described them, like, right. Yeah, exactly. I don't watch a lot of Vanderbilt basketball. Shout out Commodores. If the way I'm targeting this draft, if I'm Danny Ainge, I'm grabbing a big man or I'm grabbing like a backup point guard. Like I think Kemba has shown that I don't think he can play more than like 30, 32 minutes, like a heavy minute load. Like, of course you still have Marcus Smart, but like, I think Brad Wanamaker is probably like, I'm okay with moving on from Brad Wanamaker.
Yes, me
too. Oh, you are?
Yeah.
So Kira Lewis from Alabama is who you're looking for. Then he shot like 36% from three last year. So
can I just butt in right there real quick? The only problem I have with that type, the point guard drafting one, I guess then you're saying that the guys they have, they don't, you know, obviously believe in.
Trevor Waters, obviously Carson Edwards is a shooting guard, but then Brad Wanamaker too.
Oh, I think they've already kind of shown you that though, right?
And yes, and which that's why I wouldn't draft another one. I think maybe that's where like I would look for a guy like a Rondo type-ish, like a veteran point guard. I'd rather have a veteran point guard than a rookie, but I do agree with Ty's 2 points though. I want like a big, and but I was just butting in because I wouldn't want to draft a point guard.
So I have a big for you, Ty, that I'm going to throw at you in a second. But Matt, I'm surprised that you don't want a guy who can come in and possibly, you know, who projects to be, you know, that knockdown shooter. Because with Nesmith,
no.
This is a guy who's talking, who is like his big thing is being able to come off screens, and he's studying guys like Ray Allen, Joe Harris. Like obviously a big range there between those two, but those are names he threw out there in a recent interview. And he's studying their footwork. To me, I like that because that's the guy you need. That's just going to come off the ball, boom, pull up. You know, people want Hayward to do that, but that's not his game.
I agree with that. I guess my problem is Vanderbilt basketball sucks, and I didn't watch many Vanderbilt games, so I can't really comment on the kid. If he is a knockdown 3-point shooter, yeah, I'm all for that. Like, I think that's what they need. They need 3-point shooting, and. But I just can't really fall in love with him because I don't know him. The guy from Villanova, what's his Bey? He's a good player. I watched a bunch of Vanderbilt games last year with him in it. He's already something we have, so I'm not really into that.
Okay.
If you're drafting a wing at this point, they're gonna be just like the point guards. They're gonna be backups. Like I guess like the point guard role, like you're like literally third point guard, that's your ceiling. Whereas if you draft a wing, he's only going to be, you know, behind Tatum, Brown, Hayward for this year. I guess he would just fill the role of Chevy Ojale. Whereas if you draft a big and he's a home run, he could start. Like,
okay, so
I like Jalen Smith to answer your question, Nick, from Maryland.
Yes, that's who I was. Yes,
I like him because he's developed a shot, a 3-point shot, not great, but. What I like about him is he's a big guy who can defend and protect the basket and rebound. And that's obviously a very big need for us.
Yeah, now Jalen Smith seems to be a guy who's starting to slip a little bit in the draft, which I find surprising based on everything, but based on what we've seen with him, you know, from whether it's you know, draft analysts or people talking to scouts, he seems like a guy like if you want a big, you know, and you're just outside the lottery, this is the guy to take. I know Isaiah Stewart's another name who's kind of slipped down a little bit. We will touch on him a little bit later on. But if they don't think, you know, we need a knockdown shooter out of the draft, we'll maybe get it elsewhere because they do lack that still, no matter what anybody says. I think Jalen Smith is a good – or if those two guys are gone, because like Cam Johnson, right, he jumped up in the draft last year. I think Jalen Smith does make a lot of sense here. Another guy who's a little bigger, but obviously he's 7 feet tall, but he doesn't – he's younger and he's not, you know, this, he's not an enforcer is, and I'm going to butcher his name, Alexej Pokusevsky from, he's overseas. He's soon to be 19 years old. He's a 7-footer, not a 3-point shooter. I this is a guy who's again, projected in this kind of range, maybe a little bit after, not definitely not sooner. I just don't, I'd rather go with Smith here personally, or the other two wings that we've talked about before, or even Lewis over this guy.
I just don't see how they draft three guys, or even at 26 or 30, like at all. Right. I think they're gonna draft maybe two top 20 players or one top like 7 player, and that's it. And they're gonna add one guy. And honestly, I think Danny, if he doesn't do that this year, it's just you're wasting your picks. Like you're literally, like you said earlier, you're literally admitting that Carson Edwards and Tremont Waters like can't play. Like they're not worth literally the picks you wasted last year on. Like mm-hmm. The kid was the G League player of the year this year. So if you go point guard, shooting guard again, that's kind of an indictment, I guess. I don't know. I just don't see how they draft three guys at all.
The other guy that's popped up for 14-2, which I'm surprised he's moved up this high, was RJ Hampton. I just think that if you're taking him this high, I feel like there are names that shouldn't be slipping to you that will. That's like he doesn't make sense for me at 14 at all. I think like towards the 20 range, he makes more sense. So Matt, I want you guys to tell me, who would you like to see them take at this spot if they decide we're going to go with 14? We like somebody here a lot that we think could be part of our future. Personally, I'll go first. I'm taking. I know a lot of people like Bay. I know a lot of people on the beat like Bay. I know Chris Grenham from Forbes. He likes Bay a lot. I am going to take Nesmith here, though. I like the way he talks about shooting. Like he's all about getting off the screen, catching, and just pulling right up from there. That's the guy that they need. That's the guy they don't have. You know, that's what Ray Allen was, obviously, in his prime. And just having a guy who can come in and do that, and then of course play on the defensive end. Then you're golden. But Ty, who would you like to see them take if they make a pick at 14?
If they make a pick at 14, oh man, I don't even know, because that's a big man I would want if you're picking at 14. And beyond like Wiseman and the kid from USC, Ngongwu, or however you say his name, I don't really know what big man would be available that deep. I feel like you'd be overdrafted.
Jalen Smith would probably be there, but Ogonkwo is the other guy. That's the other guy who they might trade up for, too. I did see that as well.
I'm trying to find Jalen Smith. Jalen Smith's 27th on the Athletics big board. So you feel comfortable taking him at 14?
I've seen him on
Sam Fistani's big board. By the way.
I saw him. Well, of course, he's an authority. So I've seen him
100%
higher up on boards. And it was more earlier on in the process. Obviously, it's been an extremely long pre-draft process, but I saw him higher up. So I don't know if I'd love the pick at 14, but I could see them doing that. If Jalen Smith slips to 26, then that's a steal for the Celtics. As much as everybody doesn't want to see them take the picks,
right.
I think they should try and make some level of a move, but that would be a steal at 26, in my humble opinion.
Well, it looks like there's a million wings and forwards in this draft, so big men would be, you know, of need.
Right. Matt, who would you want them to go with?
If they use 14, I would probably go with the guy you're talking about. I'll just trust you on it. And if he is a 3-point knockdown shooter, I will take that. I don't want – again, I'm with both of you. I don't want them to use the pick, but if they were, I would use it. Because I don't think – Jalen Smith, I would say I like, but I don't like at 14. I would draft if you're using one of your later picks. That's who I'd use it on.
Okay.
But because I don't really know any of these bigs, like after like you know, the ones that are supposed to go at this time. So I don't know. I'd rather trade the pick.
Okay.
Or,
now,
or use it to get a shooter.
Whoever they take at 30, I'm sure Celtics fans at first will be like, oh, they're fun, they're interesting, they do something cool, whatever. But like 30th, obviously we don't care about generally as much. And 26, I think, kind of falls in that same category. But the guys that I'm seeing projected in this range, I've seen some that, you know, this guy could slip to 26, but he could also slip to 30. I also see some guys at 26 who could slip to 22. Like Desmond Bane, for example, who's another really good three-point shooter who for 3 years, his last 3 years at TCU, shot over 40% from three. And as a freshman, he shot 38. So you know what you're getting there. I've seen him projected as high as 19, I think, to the Nets. So I don't know where he – I've also seen him go to 30. So, like, there's a wide range for him. You know, Ty, you brought up how Jalen Smith is on – I'm surprised the Athletics big board at number 27. If you're getting Jalen Smith at 26 – again, that's I think you're very fortunate. Isaiah Stewart is another big. He's Washington, and I think he's dense. He's like you're getting a thick big guy, but you're also getting a guy who plays like the traditional big man spot, doesn't shoot threes, and he's 6'9". So like it's not necessarily going to translate as well. You got to have some real confidence in what he's good at if you're going to take him. And then Tyler Bay is another guy that I've seen come up a little bit, not to be confused with Sadiq Bay. We got two Bays in here. Very athletic and a really good defender, but it's just you have guys that are like that. I feel like he's very redundant. Unless you're moving on from people, Tyler Bay does not fit for the Celtics. And then LeAngelo Balmero is another guy I've seen pop up. He's an overseas guy, and he's, I guess, somehow he's the only guy that's first-round talent that you could draft in stash. So maybe, like Danny does like to do that kind of stuff, I could see him maybe doing that. I would hate it personally. I want no part of this guy. He's playing for Barcelona this year. He's not a three-point shooter. He's like a point forward who I guess can defend the position. But he's doing terribly for Barcelona this year to start.
But at one point, wasn't the knock on Luka he couldn't shoot when he was like young playing pro overseas? I'm not saying that's like the right move, but like if he is going to use the three picks and not trade, like that would be the way he would do it, is a draft and stash, take a kid at 26, hopefully a kid, if you draft him at 26 and you stash him next year, potentially could be a top 10 pick and therefore you reap the rewards for it. I don't know. I don't know anything about the kid you're talking about, but if he doesn't trade his three picks, that'd be a way he could use one of them. It'd be boring as hell, but whatever.
Yeah, yeah. It does make sense if they don't get rid of them all. Matt, I'm assuming that there are no names that tickle your fancy that I just listed off.
No, I tell you, please trade these picks. Bring in a veteran. Bring in some veterans.
For you guys, they're the only way that they win the draft. I guess like they have a successful draft night is if they make a move that night.
Yes. I think it's a fail. I don't like it. I don't know about you, Ty. If they use more than one of these picks, I think it's a fail.
Yeah, I think if you have the over-under at 1.5, it needs to be under. It'd be a failure if he drafts two or more, like you're saying. I think he's got to make a big move, or I don't even know if the move would be trading a package to go up in the draft or trading the package to get a vet. Either way, make a splash with those picks. Do something.
I think the other problem is, too, it's like, well, thinking about making these picks or who you're bringing in, it's like, well, is he moving Marcus Smart or Gordon Hayward? I think that might tell you or hint people off on what he ends up doing. Because, like, that's the thing is, like, drafting that shooter at 14 would then become important if Gordon Hayward's getting traded or Marcus Smart's getting traded. Like, if you're losing perimeter players, then yeah.
I have a very hard time imagining that Marcus Smart gets traded. I just I know the way that Ainge feels about him, and unless what happened in Florida has completely changed the organization's stance on Marcus Smart, I have a very hard time imagining that. Gordon Hayward, I less so. I'm not saying I expect him to get traded, but less so. So then, all right. So
I was gonna say, to the Gordon Hayward point, I think that's more likable in the sense of contract and like tradable contract and big ass contract that you want to move away from. Or the fact that we've been seeing now, I know you guys, when I shared that article or that thing about Gordon Hayward on that, they're talking about him on the podcast.
Oh, that was Ryan Russillo, right? I think it was that on the Bill Simmons podcast?
Zach Lowe's, I think.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, reports of him wanting to get traded. Sometimes I'm like, oh, that's just BS, or like, you know, do we know where this guy's sources are? But then usually, I don't know. I can't think of what the saying is. Something
where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah. Like, I think this is one of those situations that there's still something coming out. Maybe he really doesn't want to be here. Now, if he wants to be here, fine. I wouldn't trade Gordon Hayward. Obviously, unless it was like for a really good deal, but we don't know the status of those two guys. And I think that also, if you had a hint or a clue to one of them, it might help you figure out what you'd want to do in the draft.
If I was hearing other reports of, like, if I heard a second report of Gordon Hayward wanting out, then I would say, then there's some credence to Russell, because now we have two different people who are talking about it, who are hearing things, but we have been given no other inclination that that's the case, right?
No, Zach Lowe is the first one to say, like, I'm hearing, let me pull up the exact phrasing, because he used some, like, weird phrasing to, like, basically say, I'm hearing, basically he said smoke, but no fire.
Gotcha. Well, I mean,
and look, then this week, then there was Russillo following it up. So,
gotcha. Well, you know, so if that's you don't need the exact verbiage. If he's throwing that out there, that there's, but if there's smoke and there's no fire,
yeah,
it doesn't make a lot of sense.
The quote is something is mildly afoot here, and then he goes on to say that his agent Mark Bartlestein is doing his basically due diligence. He's doing the Al Horford path, where like Al was obviously here, did his homework on seeing if there was a market out there, and then saw that there was.
Gotcha. Know. Gotcha. Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, that would obviously change things a little bit. So we know what you guys want to see them do, but what do you think Danny Ainge is going to end up doing? I think that
he'll draft all three.
Okay.
That's what he'll probably do.
Okay, he's going to take all three, Ty.
I think Danny is going to trade 14, 26, and Semi Ojeleye for a top 10 pick, and then just dump number 30. And I don't know what he does with the top 10 pick. I literally don't see any way, like, roster construction-wise, how he takes three, how he takes two, and how he takes one, unless he's, like, a legit rotation player. So, like, increase your chances, but I just don't see how basketball logic would say he doesn't move those picks and go.
Yeah, he'll try to move up. I'd rather trade the picks and get somebody that can contribute now. But I think Ty's kind of on it with they'll probably try to move up in the draft.
I think
weren't there reports of them being connected to that USC big man?
I missed that. If that was the case, I trust you. Yeah. I trust that you saw that. I think they're going to end up moving 14 and 30. I think they'll keep 26 because I think they'll end up. I think the drafts and stash thing is going to happen. Ainge does that. Ainge does like European guys, and then it's like, you know, he's not here right now. He's not an issue. I mean, he's going to finish out the year in Barcelona, so it'll kind of work out. I don't like that pick, but I think that's what he's going to end up doing.
Yeah, it was Kevin O'Connor said the Celtics are trying to package 14, 26, and 30 just to move up. And then Aaron Smith, A-R-A-N, from NBADraft.net, he goes, I'm hearing the same as Kevin O'Connor. Boston's been trying to package their three picks to move up. And the player the Celtics are targeting is big man Onyeka Okongwu.
Yep. I saw that with that was before when you brought him up, like that Hollinger had said that they might try to move up for that range. Cause I think him and Vassell are expected to go like 10, 11, at least that's what Hollinger's. And again, that guy
that makes sense
connected across the league. So he has an idea. So maybe that's where they end up going. So I mean, if they make that move to get into the top 10 or a little bit closer, then okay. I just don't know. I think that
makes sense because that addresses your biggest need without parting with Smart, without parting with Hayward, without really trading three first-round picks to get up there. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you trade 14, 26, and 30, you're still getting a guy who you believe can play now, and that would probably allow Kanter to walk, and then you have a three-headed monster, I guess, in Okongwu, who I guess would start day one, if not be number two, with Tice and the Time Lord. Mm-hmm. So that would kind of be a little odd for the Time Lord fans out there, but
no, they'll freaking get over it. It's more importantly, you know, we're not talking about 26 and 30 a lot, not just because we're not as interested, it's just we don't know how anybody necessarily fits on the roster. in that situation. It'd be
Don't play in year one either that low. Like, they rarely play year one,
especially 30. But there have been guys who, you know, you later in the draft, they people have hit on, and it's things if they miss on it. But I think if you can get a guy who you feel that confident in, that's a big, that addresses a need, I don't think it really matters at the end of it all. So there, we've resolved it for everybody. Trade up to get to like number 10 or number 11. That's what you think they're gonna do, Ty?
Well, I hope Danny drafts Udoka Azubuike, that kid from Kansas, the big man. That's like one of the only college players I know, and he was just dominant every time I saw him play, like unguardable. But he's basically Joel Embiid, like health issues wise, size wise, except he literally cannot shoot. So
my one last question that I have. Oh, what? Sorry, Matt.
I said the only guy I like in this draft. I'm not saying he'd be what the Celtics need, but I like that dude Obi Toppin from Davis.
I knew that was going to be the guy. I'm doing a mock draft with the other guys over on the USA Today NBA Wire, and I think when we did the draft, he ended up going to. Slipping to eight, where I had to pick. I'm picking for the Knicks and the Nets and that. And I took him at eight. I was like, of course. Yeah, no LaMelo Ball there. Otherwise, I would have absolutely taken him because I need to see. I want to see LaMelo Ball in New York. I think that would be perfect. It would be just sheer friggin' madness and nothing but disappointment and LaVar Ball losing his shit. And that, to me, LaVar Ball, I don't like him. I usually don't have time for him. But him versus James Dolan is a headache I would like to deal with.
Yeah, I would like to hear that.
So that was the last thing I was going to ask you guys. Where do you want to see LaMelo go in this draft?
People project him one, by the way. Sorry, Ty. Is it that what the projection is?
I've seen him on some big boards at one, yes. Yeah, but I've seen some story slips to the Knicks.
And the Knicks are picking at what?
Eight. Damn. I think he's going to go in the top
five.
That's
how you know this draft sucks. When the number one pick could be at one or eight. That's how you know his draft sucks.
You saw him going as far as eight?
Maybe I misread it, and it was the Knicks trading up for him to get to number eight. But the draft I did
– with
the draft that I did with the guys over at the NBA Wire, I think he went six to the Hawks in that draft.
But I thought this was, like, widely known for the last year. This was a three-player draft. So how does that – any of the top three players fall out of the top three.
Dude, I'm telling you, the shit's been changing left and right. I thought Obi Toppin was a fifth pick for sure, and that's changed.
Like, who's that Denny Avdija guy?
Dude, the values I see. I'm telling you, I see, like, there are quite a few people. There are a few people who I trust with their evaluations, you know, big boards or their mock drafts, whatever. And I've seen with, you know, you bring up Vensi, and I'll see he has one thing, and then I know, you know, my boss Brian Kalibrowski from USA Today, he's all over the shit. And he's talking to all these guys, interviewing them all, and I see his board, and it's like, well, there's some differences there. And then I look at Hollinger, what he's got, it's like. Well, he's like talking to people too. So it's like there's all these differences. So it's just a lot has changed other than pretty much Edwards and Wiseman are the guys that I see up towards the top consistently. But I thought Ball was originally supposed to be a top three guy as well.
Yeah, I saw a report that said that the Timberwolves would go LaMelo Ball at one or trade for a win-now player. So unless they get that win-now player, Marcus Smart, they're gonna take LaMelo Ball.
Oh,
it'll be LaMelo, D'Angelo, and Karl Towns.
Oh my god, that sounds miserable. That sounds like a guy I don't want to watch. So,
Matt, that is a 30-win team.
Where do you see LaMelo going?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. And as long as he's not in the Celtics, I don't really give a shit. I hate the whole Ball show thing. I don't like it. But I don't know. I'm with Ty. I have a hard time seeing them picking LaMelo at one. I don't know.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
Would you love to see him with the Lakers? Somehow the Lakers move up to
yes.
number one and take LaMelo Ball.
Wow. Yes, I would like to see that. Or just ESPN. That doesn't matter.
ESPN's headquarters would blow up like in spontaneous combustion if LeBron and LaMelo and LaVar were reunited.
Oh my god.
I feel like Lonzo's not that crazy. And like of the whole family, I feel like Lonzo is the least crazy of them all.
Yes.
And I would feel a little bit bad if he got cucked like that. That would suck.
Well, how about this? Where did the Pelicans pick?
I don't know where the Pelicans pick.
You can have Lonzo and LaMelo brothers on the same court. Has that ever happened?
Lonzo's, you know, pass first guy and everything. I just LaMelo has interviewed very poorly. That was what it was. LaMelo has slipped because he's interviewed like shit. He's been
shocking.
One of the worst.
Shocking.
Been one of the absolute worst. That's why with that's probably why with like Desmond Bain, he's been, I think, the best interview so far. And him and Isaiah Stewart. So like that's why when I see them at 26 as opposed to like, you know, 19-ish, it surprised me. Those two have been the best interviews, and then LaMelo's, I think, maybe the worst interview. So that's why he's slipping so much. I knew there was a fucking reason.
Apple don't so least, fall far.
At least LaMelo knows how to run a failing business in the big baller brand. That thing failed so fast. Nobody even talks about it anymore.
Well, he's doing I think Big Baller is still a thing, but he's going with Puma. So or I think it's Puma, yeah. So then LeVar's
still a thing, but he's gonna go with a different shoe brand.
Yeah, they're the absolute worst. But obviously we haven't done this in a while. So we had a lot of other important stuff that we had talked about at the beginning. But Matt, do you have anything else that you want to share with anybody that's been going on with you before we get rolling?
No, not really. I thought the only thing that kind of sucks if we're gonna talk a little bit more basketball is that I don't think there'll be any fans in the stadiums, do you think, this whole year?
I think they're still. I know they're still trying to do it. I don't know about how
it's not going to work.
I can't imagine
Foxborough. They're not letting any fans in the stadium. That's outside. How are you going to justify having people go indoors? The state, you know, arena?
Boston doesn't seem to have any chance right now. But I mean, like when I've been, because I'm keeping tabs on Boston. I'm keeping tabs on Brooklyn too. And I know their owner has been saying like we want to get players. I mean, the fans in the stand still. So I don't. They're not going to give up on it. I don't know if they're going to mandate it. Yeah, exactly. Because they're going to lose a lot of money.
I mean, again, we don't know what the future months hold. You know, as the season is now starting late December. So obviously, you're playing into now. I'm assuming May would be the regular season ender now. I don't. I'm whatever. But we don't know how far down the line. Maybe fans control, you know, come back in if things progress out of the winter months. But I'm saying to start the season, there's no way they're gonna have fans.
No, I can't imagine doing that at the start of the season. That's for when the season will end. I know it's 72 games now. I know they want to end before the Olympics. I'm not certain on the Olympic dates exactly. So I don't know. Maybe some regular season. Yeah, maybe it ends around May. But either way, the turnaround on this thing, it's friggin' nuts.
It's wild. And it's so weird. When Ty said next season, I was like, it kind of like threw me off. I was like, oh crap, that's right. You start all right.
You mean like a
month
from
those
now?
Guys in the bubble too.
Oh, brutal.
Yeah. Well, how about LeBron? Danny Green said he's not going to be in there. Like they start on Christmas or around there. Danny Green said LeBron won't be there for the first month of the season.
I don't. That's what you said, but now LeBron's in favor of them starting so quickly. Apparently, so it's like it's all about the money. Like at the end of it all, he knows that.
He'll be in there, but with load management.
With load management, yeah, I don't think he's gonna straight up not play, but it'll be maybe every other. I mean, I honest to God, I don't blame him for like thinking he's not gonna be ready. It's just that is a ridiculous turnaround. You just had an NBA Finals run in what was that? It ended mid October, and then you're supposed to be back. Ready to go for December 22nd, something like that.
That's wild.
That's ridiculous. We've never seen that before. It's always what ends in mid. Is it mid June or mid July?
It's early June. Well, I'm sorry.
So early July. June, it's like July 10th, right?
Yeah.
June or July?
Because free agency starts July. Like
that's right. Yeah. So it's June like 10th, 15-ish, and then training camp doesn't start till like the end of September. That I know for sure. So that's what. So you have July, August, and then pretty much all September. So it's like 3.5 months, close to four.
Yeah.
LeBron needs that. Like that's for the finals team, and LeBron's getting half of that. It's no way. Yeah, he's playing. Well, load management is the best you can hope for, I think, with this.
Well, you've got extremes on both ends. You've got LeBron, who's, you know, teammates are bitching to the media, like Danny Green, like I was just saying, because they have such a short layoff. And then whereas my team hasn't played in like 9 months. My Bulls haven't played since March 9th. So like if we don't get out there until January 18th, like that is way too long to be off.
How do you feel about Billy Donovan as the new head coach of your Chicago Bulls?
See, I love Billy, but I don't know like really deep X's and O's Billy. And the only person that I know who does is Mitch, who played for him. And obviously, like, he doesn't have glowing things to say about Billy because he flamed out there. So it's kind of hard to really get a true grasp of how I'm supposed to feel about this. I'm very excited on one hand, but yet Mitch flamed out and says that like he is like dishonest with his players. So I don't know.
Oh, That's definitely not good at all. I mean, there were reports of tension between him and Westbrook for I think a couple years there.
Yeah. So, well, coach guys hard. Like Jaylen Brown said, he has a grudge against Billy Donovan.
Right. Yeah. Because I remember reading that. That came out last year, I think. Right.
Yeah. Billy was coaching Jaylen at a basketball camp, and Jaylen was like basically coasting on his athletic abilities, and Billy told him, he's like, son, like, you're not going to get to the NBA based upon your athletic ability. Like, you won't be there. You'll be broke.
Yeah.
And or something along those lines. I don't think it was that brutal. And he's like, to this day, I held it to me that, like, that Billy told me that. Like, he basically coached me hard, and he had a problem with it.
Yeah. As long as you use it in a productive manner, I guess is all that matters. But you can't – again, we've probably praised the Oklahoma City Thunder more than any Celtics-centric podcast there is. And you can't ignore what they did this year under Billy Donovan. So I would think it's got to help.
Have you listened to Joe Sway Pavone's podcast?
I have not recently. No.
No, I'm kidding. I have no idea what he's saying.
Joe Sway's a good dude. He's a good dude. Yeah. Anyways, you're a dick though. However,
I'm just throwing on podcasts. I know I could have thrown on Jay King's podcast with the other guy, whatever.
Sam Packard. Yes. Who was not happy with your, Miles Turner trade proposals. I know Matt wasn't for it either, but I think Sam was very upset with that idea.
I'm not gonna respond.
So it's been a while. Do you have anything else you want to say before?
Is his name Sam or is it Jam?
It depends who you ask. He's a good dude. Sam's a good dude, but I just
I'm sure he is, but he's beyond Tommy when it comes to homerism. Like he's now like now with Tommy being dead, Jam Packard, Sam Packard is number one in the power rankings.
Okay. All right, there you go. Hey,
congrats, Jam. Congrats.
Do you have anything else besides that before we get rolling?
Oh, me? No, I'm good.
All right. So we will be doing a draft reaction podcast for you guys after we see whatever the hell it is that the Celtics do. Or if they do something beforehand, maybe we'll address that then. I don't know. We'll see. But either way, we'll have something for you guys next week.
What it do, baby?
Yeah, you already know.
I'm just trying to be all right with it. Yeah. I'm just trying to be all right with it. Yeah. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. Yeah. I'm just trying to spend the night with it. I just wanna be alright with it. I'm just tryna see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. Hey, I got no resolutions, I'm just hoping for some.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.